KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Hello and good afternoon. Jim Williams with you this afternoon. Our good friend and general manager, Steve Ryman, will be back with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. And he's got some great guests lined up. I am with the founder and president, big words, big title, Carla Sontag, founder and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico, and my friend. Hi, Carla.
Hi.
I'm glad to see you. I haven't had a chance to talk with you. Steve usually gets that privilege, so I'm excited to talk to you.
Yes.
Because I still get your newsletters. I should mention two websites, bettertogethernewmexico.org and New Mexico NMBiz, B-I-Z, coalition.org, NMBizcoalition.org. And I'm going to have you start by telling us about those two organizations and how they interact.
Well, New Mexico Business Coalition was founded 18 years ago, and it was because at the time, I was so frustrated with the business environment here. I was a business owner myself, and I was ready to retire, but yet not ready to stop working. And we were frustrated, started looking at moving it to other states. I'm a native New Mexican. It was a hard thing to consider. But during that whole time, I'm praying, God, where should I go? And he clearly directed, you don't need to run, you need to stay and fight. And so that's why the Business Coalition started 18 years ago, to fight for better business policy in the state so that business owners can operate profitably, they can grow and expand and hire people, because when that happens, everybody wins.
Yeah.
So we're still in the fight, and it has not gotten much better, but we're not giving up.
Carla, you have actually had some profound influence on a number of different issues, but you approach what is really a political issue quite a bit differently than anybody else that I know that's in that space. You have a nonpartisan perspective. I would say you would say that there's as many people on the left politically as there are on the right that are business owners.
Yes.
And they all want to be successful, all want to take care of their families. So let's... When you talk about the New Mexico Business Coalition, just gave the website nmbiz.org.
NMBiz Coalition.
I'm sorry, nmbizcoalition.org. What happens when somebody wants to be part of that or benefit from the work that you're doing?
Well, they can sign up for our emails. If they want to be part of the team and help support our work, we're always appreciative of that because we don't accept government money. That is something that we said from day one. We're not going to take somebody's hard-earned tax dollars. If you want to support us voluntarily, that would be awesome. A lot of individuals will follow the Business Coalition, but that's the purpose, too, of the other organization, Better Together New Mexico. That one we started 5 years ago. That one does business as well as the sister association to the New Mexico Business Coalition, but it does a whole lot more. We focus on family issues, education, everything that you can imagine, and we encourage individuals to get involved with that, because we, in either organization, you're going to have a way to voice your opinion to elected officials, and that's important.
What are the biggest economic and workforce concerns you have for New Mexico right now?
Well, you know, crime continues to be number one. People are just not feeling safe here throughout the state. It's far worse than Albuquerque, but crime is a big issue. And then we've got increasing taxes and regulation. That has been such a deterrent to business. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But
Carla, when you talk about taxes, we're not just talking about New Mexico in isolation.
No.
If you're a business owner, you get to choose whether you do business in New Mexico or in Texas or Arizona, Colorado, et cetera. And each of those states do things to make their own situation more competitive so businesses can thrive. Is New Mexico keeping up with that?
We are not. As a matter of fact, Wallet Hub just came out with a new report recently that shows New Mexico is number 4 in the nation for overall tax burden. And that is very painful. Number four. And, you know, people talk about New Mexico being a poor state. We're not a poor state. We have a poor mentality of our state, because our state should be one of the wealthiest. We've got natural resources. We've got two national labs that are phenomenal for the people that they have working there and the production that they are creating. So number four in the nation for overall tax burden. And here's the sad part. We're number 50th for return on that investment. So for all the money.
So we're 50th out of 50 states.
Yes. For all the money that we're pouring in, fourth in the nation, highest for overall tax burden based on our on your individual income. But yet our return on that investment, all those tax dollars we're paying, we're not getting a return. We're not getting good investment dollars back to improve our way of living here, our educational system, our business system, our roads. We're not getting it back.
I ask you about the biggest economic and workforce concerns, and you mentioned crime. The reason I mention that is because all of this is interrelated.
Yes.
Your recent newsletter said that you highlighted that approximately 32,000 New Mexicans between the ages of 16 and 24 are neither working or enrolled in school. How concerning is this number for the future of our state?
It's very concerning. You know, we've already got about half of our population is on government assistance for one reason or another, 40 to 50%. That's very high. If we don't get these young people engaged in society, and that means first going to school and secondly getting a job, then that number is going to continue to grow. It's already unmanageable. We don't have the resources to support half or more of our population on government assistance because it's not all federal.
I notice when you go to your website, again, I want to state it for everybody a couple of different times, NMBiz, B-I-Z, coalition.org. You actually have a place where people can click if they're looking for a job.
Yes.
So you have a lot of people that are submitting to you, hey, we're looking for good people. Do you find most employers today are having a difficult time employing people?
Across the board, yes. The biggest deficit is in healthcare. Across the board, in every form of healthcare, rural and in the urban areas, it is a problem in every measure. And then our construction industry, our tourism industry, people want to come to New Mexico because it's a beautiful state. We don't have people to serve them. So every industry is hurting. Those are some of the top three that are having the hardest time getting people to work in hospitality, construction, and healthcare.
I know during the past legislative session, you were very involved in the whole movement to bring back medical workers to New Mexico. So I know that there's 9 or 10 compacts where states have, like if you're part of the nurse compact, if you're a licensed nurse in Arkansas, we have a way that you can practice nursing in New Mexico. Your licensure there is good for practicing in New Mexico. And that, I understood, was the only compact we were a member of before this recent legislative session.
Right.
But there are 9 others, or maybe even 10. And that's, you know, surgeons, doctors, EMTs, et cetera. And I understand that we basically made it so that we're part of the doctor compact and one other. Why are we not a member of all the compacts, Carla?
I don't know why they want to micromanage that. You know, it's kind of a blanket thing with many other states that they're going to welcome people in healthcare to come to their state. But I'll tell you honestly, that is kind of a icing on the cake if you have a good healthcare system, and we don't. So while that's important, that is not enough to get people to want to come here and practice medicine. And that went back to the medical malpractice situation we had. Now, that was also corrected somewhat in this last session. We worked very hard on that. We've been working on it for years. Now, the history of that is it was all done by the trial attorneys, because the trial attorneys want carte blanche to sue anybody that they
can. And by
can.
The way, there are a few trial attorneys that are members of our New Mexico legislature.
There are several. And then you have the Trial Attorney Association, who controls many other legislators. And by control, I mean they give them a lot of money for them to vote the way they want them to vote.
Would this characterization be accurate? The trial attorneys are saying that the big medical corporations are taking advantage of New Mexico by charging them too much money.
Well, I don't think that's accurate, because they are having to charge more to cover all of these liability issues that the trial attorneys have created.
So the medical providers, that would be everything from doctors to nurses to EMTs to administrators, et cetera, they're saying that rather than there being limits on liability for, let's say, appendicitis, something went wrong. And I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm going to give an illustration. Let's say you had an appendix, something went wrong. There used to be a limitation of like $250,000 that you could sue. Now I understand it's more like $6 million.
Right.
So there's only one actual company providing medical malpractice insurance that is actually writing insurance policies in New Mexico, and normally there are three. Is that, are we any closer to solving that problem?
Well, what we did in this last session, the correction that was passed and signed into law will put limits and stop some of the lawsuits against the individual providers, the doctors, but it's still open game on the hospitals. So it's still, you still have the same issue, because the hospitals are trying to insure the doctors. And so if it's still a free-for-all in suing the hospital and you've got some limits on the doctors, you've still got a problem. So it was a fix in the right direction. We're thankful that it happened, but it's not enough. We need to take our system back to before the time the trial attorneys got in and messed it up. That's it in a nutshell.
Well, and I know, for example, maybe you could explain this last question of this segment. Michelle Lujan Grisham passed a bill where if you want to be a physician, the state of New Mexico will require you to work somewhere in New Mexico, I guess for a short time in a rural area, maybe in a larger city combination kind of thing, but that you could have your tuition reimbursed.
Right.
But the problem is that you can go ahead and get your degree, but then you can't afford the medical malpractice insurance because it's astronomical.
Right.
So it's like self-defeating. Is that accurate?
Yes. Some of that should equalize a little bit, because the doctors are not going to be sued personally to the extent that they were.
Mm.
They can still be held liable. And look, we already had a means to take care of bad doctors, right? We're not saying that any doctor should be able to practice. And if they're not doing a good job, they need to get out of the medical field. And we had things in place to take care of that. But this free-for-all of liability, the lawsuits, and this is just a money grab by the attorneys, that's the problem. They need to stay out of our medical system, and we need to get it back to where it was.
So, Carla, the New Mexico Business Coalition, when you are dealing with these issues, do you hear from some of your constituents, and do they give you ideas and policy possibilities?
Absolutely.
Possibilities?
We've always got open communication with people who know and have had issues and that can help in any way. But our role is to bring good policy ideas. We don't just sit around and gripe about problems. We're looking for solutions. And then we try to take these solutions to the legislators who can enact them. But the value for the public is we make it really easy for them to get engaged with our calls to action, 30 seconds, and they can express their opinion directly to the decision maker. And so that has been invaluable in getting communications to our decision makers.
When we come back, we're going to discuss education accountability, workforce readiness, and whether taxpayers are seeing measurable results from New Mexico's massive investment in education. Early childhood education has been the latest expense. We'll be back with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico right after these messages. Coalition is with us, nmbizcoalition.org, and also Better Together New Mexico. Would you mention exactly how Better Together New Mexico works with the New Mexico Business Coalition? Its emphasis is on citizen engagement and accountability.
Yes, yes. And so this was formed during COVID when it's an interesting way that this all came about. It was during COVID, and there were a lot of people very, very upset with the governor's draconian lockdown of the state. And people were just griping, through social media. And I thought, we ought to harness that energy into something positive. So I started reaching out to like-minded groups that wanted the freedom to go to church, to grocery shop, do what they needed to do. And that was Better Together. So we've got about 120-some organizations throughout the entire state that fall under this umbrella. And so it's a sister association. New Mexico Business Coalition provides the support that it needs because it's still relatively new. But we get a lot done together. It's a good synergy between the two organizations. We have more individuals in Better Together than in the Business Coalition, but people are welcome in both.
Carla, this isn't on my list of stuff, but I'm going to ask you anyway. You're a Christian woman, and you do an amazing job of working really carefully with people that don't share your faith and may not share ideologies that you might have politically, but you work together for everyone's benefit. How do you do that?
Well, you know, it just starts with general respect of each other. And, you know, the interesting thing is that people that are working with me, I don't beat them in the head with a Bible and I don't preach to them, but we do have certain things that we do. We start every meeting, even if it's the leadership group of Better Together, we start with a prayer because I am going to honor God first and foremost and ask for his guidance. But through that process, you know, we'll pray and then we work together and we have a mutual respect agreement with each other that if there's a disagreement, we're going to work it out with the individual if we can. If that doesn't work, we'll bring somebody else kind of as a mediator. And if that doesn't work, we're not going to let it come between the greater good in the organization. Well, that's actually a biblical model. So through all this work that we're doing, I have had the pleasure of seeing a lot of people want to have what I have, that peace, that joy in my life. And I've seen people come to the Lord because of it, not preaching at them, not quoting the Bible every time I turn around, but just living my life as I think Jesus would want me to and trying to be an example. So it's been really awesome to see that transformation.
You know, I guess I'm thinking as we're talking that there might be people listening that don't share our faith, but they really need help in their business.
Yeah.
Is your organization the one to help them, even though they may not?
Yeah, because we have a special love and respect for everybody. And we want everybody to succeed. When a business is succeeding, as I said earlier, it's good for everybody. Even if they are a small sole proprietor and taking care of just their family, they're doing a good job of taking care of their family and they're not on government assistance. And we have nothing against government assistance if they need it. What we want to do though is see people get on their own and be able to provide for themselves. Larger businesses, of course, are providing jobs that help other families. And
yes.
So the more that we can help, the more they can help. And it just grows in society. And no, you don't have to be a Christian and you don't have to share our faith. You don't have to have any faith, but we're going to help you if we can, because we believe that is good for society.
Well, you're one of the few people that I've talked to that actually believes that we can all work together for each other's good, even though we don't necessarily agree on matters of faith or politics.
We applaud success because, as I keep saying, if somebody is succeeding, it's not taking away from us or from someone else. It's giving back, because the more they succeed, they're paying the taxes that go in for the greater good and they're providing jobs. And it all works together, and that's what we need to see. So we don't begrudge successful people. We don't, if we see somebody that's a multimillionaire, we applaud that success.
I want to ask you this question kind of in two parts. New Mexico has spent billions of tax dollars on education and workforce programs. But the two parts I want you to think about are, one, is it fair for you to criticize how the money's being spent? And two, are there any measurables showing that that money's being spent to the benefit of New Mexicans?
Well, you know, if you're paying taxes, you have a right to voice your opinion about how those taxes are being used. And when we look at the measures of New Mexico, whether it be in education, safety, tax burden, I mean, we are at the top of all the bad lists and the bottom of the good ones. And we need people to speak out. Because if you don't voice your opinion about how your money's being spent, then the people in charge just have the right to think, well, you're not saying anything, so you must be okay with it. We're not okay with it. We are not okay with New Mexico failing, because we don't have to fail. We should be succeeding. We should be a shining star in this United States, because we have so many great resources. And by those, I mean both natural and people. We've got some phenomenal people here. And their value is not being recognized in the ratings that we're getting.
We talked a little bit about healthcare in the first segment. We're the only state in the country that has lost net doctors since 2019. We are the only state in the United States that actually has negative population growth. Those are alarms that nobody seems to be paying attention to.
Well, I think the citizens care, and I think they're feeling it. I think it's the decision makers that want to ignore it. You know, when we brought some of the educational statistics to the state legislature and we talked about how poorly we were doing, and this is radio, so I can't show you a graph, but the graph for financing has gone almost straight up for increase in funding to education, but yet we continue to be 50th in the nation. Do you know what their response was?
No.
Well, it's really not fair to compare New Mexico to other states. We should compare New Mexico only to itself, because we've made improvements. And I said, well, that's just great. Why are our children, many of them, are not doing well? They can't do math. They can't read appropriately. So compare yourself to yourself. You're still failing our children.
Kids Count, which you're familiar with, has rated us 49th or 50th in the country in education for many years. And we used to be neck and neck with Mississippi. But I spoke with Mandy at Think New Mexico with Fred Nathan, and she is a former educator of the year and knows a lot about this. And she said that Mississippi went, and they're now 17th in the country. I mean, that is a massive leap.
Yes.
From second to last or last to 17th. And that what they did is they adopted some strategies that they found in Florida, and that it had a lot to do with how we educate educators. Mm. They were making teachers learn different ways to teach. So I know that there's some really positive things out there, and I always wonder why doesn't New Mexico find out who's doing a great job with the homeless problem, who's doing a great job with education, and go emulate what those states are doing.
You want to know what I think about this? Because I will tell you, the problem that I have with this, and Mississippi, they are an example we should be following. You know, we used to say, thank God for Mississippi, because every once in a while they would go to 50th and we'd be 49th. We can't say that anymore, because they chose not to fail anymore. New Mexico continues to choose a lot of the legislators and decision makers. They choose to fail. And do you want to know why?
Why do they do that?
Well, as long as they fail and they have a growing population of homeless on the streets and children and adults who can't read and can't work effectively, they remain dependent on government. So as long as they're dependent on government for subsistence, they are going to vote for those people who do that for them. Whereas what we're saying is we need to cut that tie, help these people who need the help get back on their feet and get productive part of society, and change how, and that's got to start with fundamental changes in education. We've got to choose to succeed.
We're going to spend the third segment talking about election law and how important it is for voters to take the information that you've already discussed with us and come up with a plan of who they're going to vote for. So, Carla, I'm so glad you're going to stay with us till 2. We'll be right back with Carla Sontag right after these messages. Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition is in studio, and Better Together New Mexico. For information about these nonprofits and how they work for the betterment of Albuquerque and New Mexico business people, go to bettertogethernewmexico.org or go to nmbizcoalition, B-I-Z, coalition.org. Carla, you mentioned some tools that are available on the website for voters, and we're going to spend this segment really talking about voters and maybe taking some of the information. What kind of information do you provide for voters on your websites?
We do a lot more in the general than in the primary. But if you go to our website, either website, you're going to find a lot of information on the governor's race, lieutenant governor, and a few other races, because they're very, very important. You know, we need more than a fig for governor. We need somebody who believes in this state, believes that we can succeed, and provides the leadership to help us do that.
Well, I've met Michelle Lujan Grisham a few times. She seems like a very nice person. She's very professional. But I've 8 years seeing the kinds of things that don't make any sense. Like, for example, energy policy. We come up with these EV mandates, which are now gone, because there was no possible way that they were ever going to work. And yet oil and gas continues to, you know, fill the coffers of New Mexico. And it seems like there's very little that the incumbent administration, not just MLG, but Democrats in general, are doing to strengthen oil and gas.
It's really interesting to watch this, because they have this mindset that we need to shut down oil and gas. But then you ask them, what are you going to do to replace that 40 to 50% of the budget that oil and gas provides? And their immediate answer is, well, we'll just tax everybody more because we've got to come up with the money. Well, there isn't enough taxes left in the rest of us to take. And so, and you'll see more people leaving. And I've got to tell you, Jim, over the last few years, we've seen a lot of good business people shut down their businesses, move to another state, because it's just too difficult to operate here. So it's going to be like getting blood out of a turnip. It isn't going to happen. And I think they need to rethink that. And we need to value our oil and gas industry for the contribution they make.
Well, you mentioned just in passing Los Alamos National Laboratories and Sandia National Laboratories earlier. And a lot of people may not realize, essentially, Los Alamos is a research facility. Mm-hmm. Never thought about being a problem before. I mean, these are some of the smartest people in the world. So they come up with these really cool ideas. And then it's my understanding, and I'm kind of oversimplifying it, but that Sandia will then take those ideas and turn them into something that's practical and applicable. Well, you've got technologies produced by both institutions that can be shared, that actually can generate revenue for New Mexico. But how many times are those technologies ever transferred to New Mexico businesses? It's very infrequent, if at all.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I'm working with a company right now that got some of that amazing technology from Sandia. And it's a chemical that is not harmful to people, but it can kill anthrax and COVID and all the things. It's remarkable. And so they're looking at ways of making that a business And I hope it's successful, but you're right, it doesn't happen enough. And it's right here in our state,
yeah,
where we should be able to transfer it better than anybody and get that to market and make great businesses here. But that goes back to the business environment, and we're not doing well with business, and people don't have the propensity and the drive to make it happen a lot of times.
So a business, what are they looking for? They're looking for a place where they can find trained employees, well-educated. Do we have that here?
We have got some stellar students that come out of our system, but not enough. And so we don't have the workforce that we
need. So second of all, they're looking for infrastructure. They want like an educational infrastructure where there's research facilities, there's institutions that can spin up training for various different things. Do we have that?
We have it, but we're not maximizing it. We're not utilizing it the right way. And the other thing that we don't do in New Mexico that we need to do, well, we don't do it enough.
It seems like we're accidentally doing all of this, not on purpose.
Exactly. We just need to perfect it because we have so many wonderful resources here. But we also need to help our young people in school understand that the trades are really critical too. They don't have to go to college, but we need electricians, we need plumbers, we need roofers, we need people who work in construction, and we need to develop that because there are a lot of students that don't want to do any more education after high school, and that's fine. Do you know that in the trades, they can start their own business or go to work for somebody and be making high figures really quick because we're short in those trades? And they don't have to go to college. So, but do we communicate that to our kids in school? No. There's a lot of things that they can do to be a productive part of society. And doesn't include college. And they can make a lot of money.
We just had Michelle from the Albuquerque Police Department. She's one of their recruiters come on. And she shared with some things that she said they need 300 or 400 more police officers. So I think that would put us around 1,250, maybe 1,300. Yeah, that professional presence would be amazing. Mm-hmm. But she shared something with me that I didn't know. You can actually go to a fitness program right now. Let's say that you graduated from high school a few years ago. Maybe you've eaten a few too many burgers. You're not in shape. But you kind of see that and you want to get back in shape. You want to be a police officer. You can get paid over $30 an hour to get in shape at the instruction and in a structured environment that APD puts together.
Wow.
Carla, I sit back and I think, you know, with all the things that we could be doing right now, we ought to be able to attract police officers like crazy. Why do you think we're not able to do that?
Well, the leadership in some districts, like in Albuquerque, has been really bad. And we've had a chief of police that was a puppet to the mayor who did not want crime fought. And he publicly said, we are not going to take action on this certain list of crimes. And that went to the chief of police. The chief told all his officers, don't do anything. Well, on those crimes, they could start with speeding, running red lights, simple things like that. If you're not addressing those issues, criminals get the picture, you're not going to worry about too much more. And that is why in Albuquerque, you see crime has just gone to the roof.
That's exploded.
It has. And there's no excuse for it. It doesn't have to be that way. We've got a new chief coming in, and I'm hoping that it's different.
Yeah. Chief Cecily, I understand, has a great reputation. She's going to come on the show with us, we understand, next month. So we're looking forward to finding out how we can assist, because those are good jobs. Your husband was an Albuquerque police officer, and I understand he really enjoyed it.
He did, and they probably have doubled or almost tripled pay since he retired. So he was happy for the little peanuts that he got. Now they get paid really, really well.
Carla, how do you feel about, I know you want people to vote. You're always telling us, make sure you vote in the primaries, make sure you vote in the general election. We have all the seats in the House of Representatives and the legislature up for grabs this year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a pile of people. How important, and can you say anything that a single person's going to say, yeah, my vote's important?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. You know, historically in New Mexico, we have had races won by less than a handful of votes. So one vote makes a difference, and it is critical that people take the time to go. It couldn't be any easier here. You've got like a full month of early voting and then election day. Everybody can find that time. And if you can't, then get an absentee ballot, but you can vote and you should. And it's important because these are the people making the decision about the direction of our state. And one of the things that we're going to do, the Business Coalition will put out business policy ratings. Better Together is going to remind you of who voted for some of the worst policies that have to do with, for example, abortion and transgender care without parental notification. We're going to remind you who voted for that. And who voted against it.
And that's really an issue of just taking away the rights of a person to parent.
That's the problem. And so you need to know who's making these decisions, and you need to understand how important they are. Not just those issues, but a lot of different issues. You need to know how they have voted, and you need, if they have not been an incumbent, there are ways, and we're going to help you find those ways to understand how they would vote on those issues.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Carla about things that have now trickled up to the federal level, the Voting Rights Act, which basically is talking about people having a reasonable ID in order to vote. We have a lot more to cover with Carla Sontag. She'll be with us till 2 o'clock. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition has been visiting with us today on ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams. We got about 9 or 10 more minutes with Carla. Don't forget Steve Ryman. We'll be back with ABQ Connect Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week. And Steve always lines up some great guests. We try as much as we can to have matters of faith, have issues that are relevant to everybody. And of course, Carla, you're bridging in a nonpartisan way faith and politics, and I'm still encouraged that you live in New Mexico. You haven't left, because there really is every reason to say, hey, it's time to throw in the towel. Mm. But you have hope we can change it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I work with groups nationwide, and there is no perfect place.
No. Yeah. The grass is not greener, right?
It is not. It's incredible to me what's going on, even in the states that you think they've got their act together. They don't. None of us do. But there's always, you've got to recognize the problem and then find a solution. You can't just gloss over it and say it doesn't matter. It matters.
Carla, you have a newsletter. You don't sell, you know, email addresses to people. You keep those.
No.
You treat those confidentially, and you just send those to people that are your members. How do you become a member of the New Mexico Business Coalition?
Well, if you actually want to be a member, we have membership dues, and you can look at that on our website. But you can sign up for our emails, and we don't charge for that. Just go to the website at nmbizcoalition.org. Or Better Together New Mexico, all spelled out, bettertogethernewmexico.org, and sign up for those emails. And then you can follow us. You'll get our calls to action, and we'll keep you informed about what's going on. And always keep in mind, we will bring you the problems, but we're going to bring suggested solutions as well.
Well, and your calls to action are tools that you give people to actually get involved in the process, and you try to make it as simple as possible.
And we need people engaged, because you're electing these people. They need to hear from you. It's really important.
So actually speaking with your representatives in the legislature is really effective.
And city council, you know, we just had two huge victories with the Albuquerque City Council that people thought we couldn't do. We stopped the gross receipts tax increase. Who needs to pay more taxes after we've already talked about how bad it is in New Mexico? And then McKinley County had a gross receipts tax that we got stopped as well. We stopped ranked choice voting here. So it can happen, not because of us, but because of people taking action. And that's why we just want to make it easy for you to do that.
People get together. In a recent newsletter, you talked about the U.S. Supreme Court decision regarding voting districts and the Voting Rights Act. Why is that important to New Mexico?
Well, you know, gerrymandering happened here the last time we redistricted, and it's pretty pathetic. I don't think gerrymandering should occur racially based or anything else. In New Mexico, it was not racial. It was political. And the Speaker of the House, Brian Egolf, at the time, said on CD2, he said, we'll see if a Republican can ever win this district again. Well, all they did was they literally split a city in half, and they brought it up into Albuquerque. Albuquerque's South Valley has nothing in common, really, with the oil patch in southern New Mexico. But that's what they put together to make sure that a Republican couldn't win. Well, we're nonpartisan. To us, you want to do the districts with a collection of people that have common interests. There isn't a common interest there. So they're all New Mexicans, but they don't know anything about what's going on in each other's world, and they can't really do anything about that person. So that needs to change. The U.S. Supreme Court said, don't do that anymore based on race. Well, I don't think they should do it for any reason. We need to collect people by their common interests where they live.
Carla, why is there such an objection to people actually having an ID in order to vote? You need an ID for everything. Every financial transaction you do, you have to have a picture ID. Why are people not wanting that for voting rights?
Well, that's the question of the day. I think it's because they say it's too inconvenient. It's not inconvenient because you have to have it, like you said, for everything else. I think they have more nefarious reasons that they don't want people to identify. And that is exactly why we need them to identify. Do you know there are reports that have come out that have said New Mexico would actually be red if we had voter ID and we cleaned up our voter rolls? This is, and again, I'm not getting into party politics, but New Mexicans typically are conservative. Whether they're Democrat or Republican or independent or libertarian, they're generally conservative in their policies. They want parental rights. They want taxation that is meaningful, not overbearing. And the same with regulation. They are, in those regards, conservative. And New Mexico, by these reports, would be red if we had voter ID and we got rid of all the people that shouldn't be voting by the voter rolls.
This is a topic for another day, but there's a business model that I'm actually fascinated with. And the way it works is you form a NGO, a non-government organization, and you get it funded by somebody federally to the tune of, let's say, $5 million, and then you kick back a couple million to those political candidates that helped you get the money. That is prevalent not just in Minnesota and California, but also in New Mexico, isn't it?
It definitely is. And if you look at the voting or the donations right now coming to Deb Haaland, they're coming in from all over the United States in small amounts being run through a group so that the donations cannot be traced back to the billionaires that are feeding them into the system. So all this money flowing in from around the United States for New Mexico's governor, when we have a population of 2 million, she's collecting very little money in the state. Why? Why do the people around the United States want her as governor, and why do they have such an interest? Those are the kind of things that we need to trace back. But the first step we've got to do is get people to identify when they vote.
Yes.
If they're bringing the money, are they bringing the votes? I don't feel comfortable with any of it. I think our elections should be our elections decided by our people. And I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I know that Democrats would feel the same exact way in their Democrat primary. They want their vote to matter, not someone else's.
I think you've said this to me before, and I'm going to paraphrase, that if we don't vote, then we don't really have any reasonable reason for objecting to who got elected.
Yeah.
And voting can mean, I mean, you have districts that are, especially in the legislature, that are decided by 40 votes or 20 votes or 100 votes.
They've come down to tie votes that have to be broken. So that's why it matters, because that one vote would make the difference. And yeah, I've told family members, hey, don't complain to me about what's happening because you didn't vote.
Yeah.
If you vote, then you have an interest in that person's decision making.
Carla, so we have a primary coming up the first week of June.
Yes.
We're going to be voting for governor this year. There are a couple of candidates, Sam Bregman and Deb Haaland, for the Democrat seat. And there are three, I guess, mm-hmm. leading candidates right now for the Republican seat. I don't have a clue who's leading and how that's going. I do know that had a chance to speak with Gregory Hull before. Gregory Hull's the former mayor of Rio Rancho and seemed to be doing a pretty good job. Have you watched the debates, or any of those things been informative to you?
Yes, and that most of them are posted on our website, so you can go watch the debates anytime you want and learn more about them. And there's all kinds of information posted to help you make an informed decision.
As usual, Carla, we could talk another hour, but our time is up. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.